Welcome to today's message. It's the second week of What on Earth Am I Here For? And you may be wondering, what on earth am I here for? Because today we're talking about the first purpose that we have, that we were planned for God's presence and for His pleasure. We were planned for God's presence and God's pleasure. And I want you to get that. And so for me, this place is significant. This was years ago. My children today are from college to middle school, and this is when my oldest two were still in elementary school, and I had two that weren't in school yet. And one morning we got donuts before school, and we came here, and there were trees everywhere. This was before the hurricane, and I had not been to Bilbo Cemetery here in Lake Charles. And we came through these gates, and something came on my second son, Nicholas. And he just started dancing all around that statue of Jesus. And I took a picture, I snapped a picture, and it's burned in my brain. I never have to look at it again because I'll never forget it, of this kid and just abandoned, dancing with joy right at the base, all around that statue of Jesus. And in this series, that picture reminds me of what we're called to. We were planned by God before the foundation of the earth. We were planned to be in His presence. Why? Because we bring Him great pleasure. Man, I love my kids. And if you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, just wait. Because the day that you have children is the day you'll realize you have a deeper understanding of love than ever before. And there is something about even just watching your children sleep at night. I remember when they were little, just standing in their bedroom, looking at them sleeping, and just the joy that it brought me. You know what? They weren't mature. They had done nothing. They just were. And they brought such joy to me because they were in my home, in my house. They were part of my family. Every parent, every good parent understands this. And I want you to know that God knows you and He loves you and He wants you to be with Him. You were planned for God's presence, and you in His presence brings Him unspeakable joy. You don't have to be mature. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be with Him. This is such a fundamental truth that I want you to get. As we look at God's purpose and plan for all of us, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, when God creates Adam, it says God, Adam and Eve, it says, God blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply. God blessed them. Did you know that God has blessed, just by the fact that He created you, He smiles on you and He wants you to walk in His blessing. God has blessed you. Do you know that God's created you with abilities and with purpose? Look at what it goes on to say. God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and govern it. God blessed them. God gave them abilities. He gave them a purpose. And then here's what I really want you to get. It says, the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. Here's what I want you to know, that God didn't just bless you and create you for her purpose. He created you for a place that He has prepared for you. This biblical principle before sin ever entered the world is still God's purpose and plan for you today. God has blessed you. When you are with Him, you are walking in His blessing. This broken and messed up world that may run you over with big old 18-wheelers like that one, God's heart for you is to walk in His presence because it brings Him pleasure and joy, but it also is a blessing to you. And then He created you for a purpose and a place. The Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there He placed the man that He had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. This is still God's heart for us in the middle of a broken world. He still has a blessing for us. He still has a purpose for us. He still has a place. And it's a place where things grow up from this broken ground that are beautiful and that produce fruit for us. In the middle of the garden, He placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You were created for God's presence and for His pleasure. And every parent knows that I'm talking about the pleasure that your children bring you just by being with them. But you have to know, here are the principles that you must know. God's heart is for you to walk in blessing. That does not mean that life is always easy, because we live in a broken world. But in spite of that brokenness, we can bring life and light to the people around us, and we can walk in it. Jesus himself is an example of this. We're called to follow in his behavior. Hebrews 5:8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. And I would love to say that you walking in God's presence means that you never experience suffering in this world. No, you will, because we live in a broken world. But God is bigger than the suffering, and he'll use every ounce of pain that you walk through in a broken place to bring others to a place of healing, because that's where you reside, though you may walk through pain. Man, I want you to get that. I want you to know that God has a purpose and a plan. He has a place for you. And he put Adam and Eve in a garden with the planted two trees, the tree of life, and then the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'm sure you've heard this story where he says, you can eat of any tree in the entire garden, but do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that you do, you will surely die. Because God doesn't just have a blessing in store for us. He doesn't just have a purpose and a place for us. He's given us a choice. You were planned for God's presence and for his pleasure, but you choose whether or not you walk in it. Everybody on the face of the earth wants to walk in the smile of God. Even those that deny that there's a creator, they want to walk in blessing. They want to walk with purpose in a place that they know that they're going to be used to make a difference. God gives us the choice as to whether or not we walk with him. What does it mean? Like, what is it when we recognize that God loves us, has a purpose and plan for our life, and we reciprocate? Because that's really what the message is. I want you to know that you were planned for God's presence and his pleasure, but that he gives you the choice of if you're going to reciprocate his love, his blessing, if you're going to walk in his plan. That is called worship. I mean, a lot of people ask me, like, what is worship? Let me just tell you what worship is not. Worship is not a Sunday morning service. It can involve that. Worship is not music, though it can involve that. Worship is you reciprocating God's love and saying, Lord, I love you. It is choosing to be in his presence and to show honor and devotion and praise to him. Man, what do I want for my kids? I want them to live a life of purpose, a life that's honorable. I want them to walk in blessing. And there's a key in all of that. I want them to be grateful for what they've been given by God, and if I'm honest, by me too. Because there's something that happens when you operate in gratitude. This is a life key. When you are able to say thank you to God for the life that you've been given, and thank you to the people around you, there is something that is released. And it's peace, it's love, and it's purpose. Now, I've told my children growing up, oh, why did they get this and I didn't? Said, to the one who is grateful, more will be given. And that is a biblical principle. My heart for you is that you walk in all of these things. But you have to know what worship is. It is you choosing to reciprocate God's love. Are you doing that? You were planned for this. Here's the reality, that every culture throughout all of history and every individual is hardwired to worship something. What do you worship? Do you worship the God of creation, or do you worship your job? Do you worship that person you're in a relationship with? Do you worship your successes? Some people even worship their failures, because that's where their identity lies and that's where their focus is. What do you worship? Worship is showing affection and love. It's being in God's presence. That's the worship that I want for you. So this brings us to the big question of, how do we worship? Wow. In church world, that's a loaded question. Like, how do we worship? Because the Catholics do it one way. The Pentecostals do it another. The Baptists do it another. And we're called to biblically worship God. Let me just remind you, worship is not an event. It's the summation of your life every moment. Are you directing all of you to all of God? That is, how do we do that? This is a very short message because I want you in the presence of God, but I want you to know this, it is very simple. It is not always easy. How do we worship? I'm going to give you three simple things on how we can operate in the purpose for which we were created, plan for God's presence. This is how. I worship by expressing my affection for God. Expressing my affection for God. How do you do that? I mean, I don't know. How do you do that in a relationship? Do you remember, if you're married, what did you do when you found the person that you're like, oh my gosh, they're amazing. I want to be with them for the rest of my life. What did you do? Well, you spent time with them. That means you were with them. You spoke kindly. You acted kindly to them, right? Like, these are all things that we did. If you're married, like, this is probably how it happened. Like, you met them, you're like, wow, this is amazing. I think I want to spend time with this person. Then your conversation was always uplifting and encouraging. You weren't beating them down and pointing out their faults and flaws. God doesn't do that to us. Do we try to show God, like, this is where you messed up? We express our affection. Am I doing that? When was the last time you told God sincerely how good he was and how grateful you were for him? It's the first one. Here's the second one. We worship by focusing our attention on him. If marriage is a good example, and I think it is because we're called the bride of Christ, I have to be intentional in showing attention to my wife. Because as time goes by, the familiarity that I have with her has a potential to breed complacency. Left unchecked, familiarity breeds contempt. The same is true with your walk with God. This morning, I woke up a little bit late. I slept like a champ, but that meant that I was also kind of groggy waking up, and I woke up late knowing that I had to record today. I got my coffee, I sat down, and I wanted to just zone out because my brain felt like it wasn't kicked in. But I also knew how important it is for me to be intentional in my walk with the Lord. So I got opened up my notes on my phone, went through my prayer list, opened my Bible, sought the Lord, told him how grateful I was for him. I had to be intentional in my attention. Are you intentional in focusing your attention on God? And here's the third thing. Like the first one, how do I worship? By expressing my affection, by focusing my attention. Here's the third thing. And it's a big one. It's key. It's by using my abilities for God's glory. What do you do that God's gifted you in that you can use for his glory? Maybe you're a great cook. Man, who are you cooking for in the name of Jesus? Maybe you're a musician. I'm a musician. Like, for years, I was on a platform playing. I was using my ability to usher people into God's presence, where they could all, as a congregation, could sing together with one voice of how good God was. It's really powerful and cool. Now, I'm still a musician, but now I'm pouring into even my own children as their musicians. And the musicians around, I'm using that ability. God's given me the ability to speak. This is what you're listening to right now. This isn't because this is a vocation. No, this is a calling because God's called all of us to use our abilities. So what is it that keeps us from the place of like truly being in God's presence and bringing pleasure to him because we're with him? What is it? Like, why don't we express our affection? Why don't we focus our attention? Why don't we use our abilities? Three things very quickly. The first one is fear. Fear says, I don't think I'm good enough. I don't think I can do that. That's fear. It's the opposite of faith. Remember the sleeping child example? God just wants you to be with him. He's not looking for you to perform. I mean, it was cool when my kids would come in small, little, and be like, hey, Dad, look at this. And they'd do like try to do a flip. And they're like, that's great. It was a terrible flip. I wasn't looking for the flip. What I was looking for was the child who loved me just because of who I was. And I loved them because of who they were. Don't let fear rob you and lie to you to say that you're not enough, that you can't do it. The second one is pride and control. This is what that looks like. God, I know what to do here. I know my way. It's very easy, particularly when people understand their abilities and they're confident in operating in them, that they will often say, thanks, God. And they'll look at Jesus and they'll go, yeah, high five. They'll bypass the hug. And they'll go, I got this. Pride and control. I can do it my way. What keeps people from the place of worship? Fear that they're not good enough, that they've messed up, that they're too broken, that they don't know what to do. Like that's fear. And then there's pride that says, I know better. That keeps you from being in God's presence, because the reality is, what did you do to get here? Where did your giftings come from? The number of people as a musician, being around musicians and vocalists, particularly vocalists, because some people are just innately gifted with this amazing voice. They never really worked for it. They just had it. And for many of them, they struggle with pride and this weird insecurity, which is also pride. But they're like, yeah, look at me. I can sing. I'm like, what did you do to sing? Man, I wish I could sing like that. But Lord knows I don't need it, because I'd be full of pride. What keeps us from God's presence? Fear, pride, and then confusion. Just like truly not knowing what to do. I want to help you with all of those. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his own love towards us while we were yet sinners. At our worst, he died for us. God loves you. You don't have to do anything. Just be the kid that's in his presence. Be intentional about that. Be in his presence. Pride, let it go. My pastor once told me something that really stuck with me. He said, you're not as good as people will tell you you are, but you're not as bad either. And there's some truth in that, that it puts us in a place where we know that God loves us. It doesn't matter so much what people say. Is my approval found in him? You don't know what to do? Let me tell you, here's the last thing as we wrap up. Surrender. Are you willing to surrender everything to the Lord? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He who follows me won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Have you surrendered to his way? Or are you still trying to do it yours? May you focus your attention, may you express your affection. May you use the gifting God's given you for his purpose. You were planned for God's presence, and it is awesome in the presence of God. Never forget that. May you be used by him, because you are with him. And maybe you've not. Maybe you've been far from God. What does it look like to be in his presence? Just say, Lord, I choose you. I'm choosing your way, not my way. You are a good God, and I trust you. Maybe you're far from him, and you need to pray. So pray with me. Pray this prayer. See, dear Jesus, I surrender to you. I turn from my way, from my successes, from my sin, and I turn to you. Forgive me for my sin. I give you the good things that I have. I give you the bad things I have. I give you all of me. I believe that you are the creator of all, and I surrender everything I have to you. Make me in your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that, that is the first step on the journey in walking with God. I want to help you connect both to him and that purpose and to people. So let us know what's going on. Click on the box in the chat box underneath. Let us know who you are, the decision that you've made to follow Christ, because we want to see you grow in your walk with him. Man, it's awesome to be in his presence. And it's awesome to have you with us today. Love you guys, and see you soon. God bless.